Welcome to Epiphany Brooklyn's podcast. I am Brandon Watts, lead pastor here at Epiph. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our desire is to join Jesus in his mission to redeem our city. May God bless you as you listen and consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Grace and peace.
Do me a favor. On your way down, just look at your neighbor and just say, I feel a little stronger now. Come on, look at somebody else and say, I came in weak, but I feel a little strength now. Because we serve a God that knows how to renew our strength day in and day out. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Anybody came to rejoice in the Lord today? I personally woke up today and I am grateful for another day that the Lord has given. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for breath. I'm grateful for the ability to be able to come and worship Jesus with my brothers and sisters. Whether we know each other or not, I am grateful that I get to the throne of grace with you guys, give him glory with you guys. And of course, I am grateful that we get to open up this word together and preach. Just do me a favor, look at somebody and just say, I'm happy to see you today. I'm happy to see you. Well, it's time for the word of God. It's Deuteronomy 8:3 that says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do me a favor. Grab your Bibles or devices. Anybody got Bibles? Physical Bibles? Physical Bibles? There's a few of us that's paper Bible saved. There's digital saved, and then there's paper Bible saved. All right, grab your Bibles and go to the second book of the New Testament. That's the book of Mark. Mark is where we're going to be. Once you get to Mark, go to Mark chapter 11. Y'all, I am still spiritually on a crazy roller coaster. We had 32 baptisms on Wednesday, y'all. It's crazy. It's wild. Like, and you know, it's not just 32 people that went in the water, but it's 32 stories, 32 testimonies, 32 people who have been transformed by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. I see Drew standing back there by the sound booth. He kicked it off. Ah! That's what I'm talking about. It is something so beautiful to see people's stories and to hear how the Lord has transformed lives. We heard everything from people being delivered and brought out from drug addiction and witchcraft. And one young lady, I loved her testimony because her testimony was the fact that I'm standing in the water is my testimony. It's powerful. It's powerful. And it's amazing. You know, the gospel never ceases to amaze me. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 16 that says the gospel is the aroma of life. And that's what it is, you know, when we got a hold of Jesus, or I should say it the opposite way, when Jesus got a hold of us, something changed and something transformed. And I'm grateful for the 32 baptisms that the Lord provided on Wednesday night. A few things that I just want to lay before you. Number one, you don't want to miss next week. You know, there's some things that you just don't want to miss next week as we celebrate the resurrection of our great God and our King, and that is Jesus Christ. Next week is Easter. Next week is also our 8th year anniversary. Amen. 8 years, man. That's crazy. The Lord has been faithful to us for the last 8 years. I almost feel like we're 20 years. The pandemic added a few years, it feels like. But God has sustained us and I mean, honestly, there are some things that we just didn't know what we were doing, and the Lord was gracious, and it wasn't strategy, but it kind of worked out. You know, that's just how the Lord does when it comes to his church. You should be prepared next week for our 3 services. So we have one at 9 a.m. Somebody say 9 a.m. We have one at 11 a.m. Somebody say 11 a.m. And I was going to say we have one at 1 p.m., but we're not calling the 1 p.m. service. We have one at The One. So y'all see my t-shirt today, The One. It's a little promo for next week. Our service is at 1 p.m., but we're calling that service The One. I genuinely, and this is real talk, I really feel like God is going to do something crazy in that 1 p.m. service, not just next week, but continuously. I think there's going to be something different about the 1 p.m. service than the 9 and the 11. And I just want to encourage some of you, if you're in the overflow or maybe you're online and you're coming next week or the week after and you're in this room, consider that The One service, because I think it's going to be a fire service. We don't believe in stepchild services. All services are created equal. All services are created equal. And so the same worship, the same word, the same power of God is going to be moving in that third service. I want to take this time just really quickly as we prepare for Easter, three services and all that stuff. I do want to take a quick second to thank God for every leader in the room and everybody that has served in any way. Come on, let's thank God for them. We do a lot to prepare for you, and I just want you to know, like, every Sunday, we're ready. By the way, first-time visitors, I just want to see your hands again. Man, thank God. Let's thank God for y'all since I met you. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for y'all. Anybody over here? Thank God, man. Brother, good to meet you. Good to see you. We thank God for you guys. We're ready. When you walk in these doors, our expectation is that we're meeting new brothers and sisters for the first time. And we get to journey on this Christian walk and this life together is the way I think about it. And our leaders and our volunteers and what we call Brooklyn's Finest is preparing each Sunday for you and the three services. And all of those things took a lot of work. Next, we're going to have a few surprises for you as you come in. Some aesthetics and stuff that we wanted to do to beautify the space. So I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give too much, but I'm excited about Easter and beyond. And I'm excited about the season that we're in. We're just in a really fruitful season where God is, we give him all credit and give him all glory. Today's Palm Sunday. I have vivid memories as a kid of Palm Sunday. Anybody remember Palm Sunday? Everybody used to get that palm on the way out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We used to have Sister Mallory. It was Deacon Mallory's wife. She used to fold them up for the kids and make a cross out of them. Then we put them on the rearview mirror and let them dry up for the rest of the year. We're in Mark 11. I think what we need to do is dig into the origin of what that meaning is. If you look at the inscription, it says the triumphal entry. This is where we got the idea of Palm Sunday from. Pick me up in verse 1. Are y'all there? Mark 11, verse 1. It says, now when they meaning Jesus and the disciples, drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go to the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and I will send it back immediately. And they went and they found the colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they said to them, what Jesus said, and they let them go. Now, I just want to pause here for a second. This is always comical to me because it's like, you know, we don't know, you know, this donkey owner owns this. It's his donkey. And then you see these guys outside untying your donkey. And then you ask, yo, what are y'all doing? And their response is, Jesus has need of it. And the donkey owner literally says, okay, and lets them go. It's just comical to me. I don't know why it's just the power of Jesus. Verse number 7 says, and they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their cloaks on it and he sat on it. Can I say that again? He sat on it. That's going to be so important in a few minutes. Verse 8, and many spread their cloaks on the road and others spread leafy branches and they cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. I want to preach today to steal a quick segment from the Breakfast Club. I want to preach from the topic entitled Donkey of the Day. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we slow down for a second because we acknowledge our deep need for you and our deep need to understand your word. And so, Father, would you speak to us today? Father, I pray that the power of your spirit would move from the pages of our Bibles and the words from our phone. And I pray that they would get in our hearts and begin to transform. Would you show us Jesus today? May none of us take the glory from him. May he receive all glory and honor because he's the only one that's worthy of the praise. It's in his name and his name alone we pray. Amen. Amen. Donkey of the day. Palm Sunday is today, of course, and Palm Sunday is really the start of what we call Holy Week. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a such thing as a Christian calendar. And on the Christian calendar, you'll see that this day today is marked as Palm Sunday, which begins this this entire week of Jesus really last week on the earth when he came down to dwell amongst us. And, you know, today is the day that he's actually going to be fulfilling the words of the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 9:9. Now, I just need you to know that the prophet Zechariah prophesied what's happening today 500 years before it actually happened. And Jesus now is fulfilling this prophecy that was given. And on this specific Sunday, the church, the Big C church, or like the churches across the world have put a major emphasis on what we call Palm Sunday. And earlier this week, I started to scratch my head as I was looking, and I just at the expense of kind of robbing us of our joy of Palm Sunday, I don't mean to, because again, I'm all in. We got palms for you. When you leave out of here, y'all can take them palms and do whatever y'all want with it. But we, you know, we have palms, so we're in. Like, I'm not against Palm Sunday. But I do want us to pay attention, because I would argue, at the expense of ruining Palm Sunday, I would argue that the passage before us, palms are not the focus. Who's the focus? Okay, you always say Jesus. He's always right. So Jesus is the focus, but I would argue to you that palm ain't even the secondary focus. The secondary focus is not the palms. It's actually the donkey, and I can prove that in a few ways. Number one, out of this story is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. So Gospels as in Matthew, it's mentioned in Mark, it's mentioned in Luke, it's mentioned in John. One of the few stories that we get throughout all of the Gospels. And whenever you read all of the Gospels, you'll notice that only one of the four actually mentions the word palm. Not even our passage today. Mark doesn't. He says a leafy branch. And so only one, John. John in John chapter 12, he's going to mention this word palm. And so it's not a focus even for all four of them. But you know what is a focus for all four of them? The donkey. He's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all mention him, because I would argue that donkey of the day, the segment that Charlemagne has taken, I would argue that he didn't make it or originate it, but the pilot for donkey of the day was back in Mark chapter 11. Because in Mark chapter 11, the first six verses focuses on the donkey. Now, once Jesus sits on it, the focus completely shifts to Jesus and his triumphal entry. But I want to spend a few minutes just focusing on the donkey. Why? Because the Gospels all show me the donkey, not the palms. This making sense? Yeah. Even Zechariah. In Zechariah's original prophecy, he don't mention nowhere near a palm. But you know what he mentions? The donkey. Zechariah 9:9 says this: "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So in other words, palm is, it hit me this week. Like, it hit me like Mike Tyson's going to hit Jake Paul. Like, just knocked me out this week, because I was reading this and I was going, ooh, the focus is the donkey. And I said, Lord, can I just focus on the donkey and the similarities between the donkey and us? Because there are some similarities, I would say four similarities, there's more, but at least four similarities between the donkey and us. Now, just in case you're using your imagination and you think I'm going to call us Jack A's, that's not my focus. I told the Lord I was going to be more mature than that, so I ain't my focus, so get that out of your mind. There's four other ways that I think the donkey is a representation of us. The first way is here. We too have been bound before. Now, I don't know if you picked this up. When I read this, there's a recurring word, a recurring theme. And I told you, you know, whenever you see the word or a phrase reoccurring in a story or in a passage or in a chapter or even in a book, that is the main focus. Let me give you an example. You study this when you get home. The word kept keeps showing up in the book of Jude. So when you read the book of Jude over and over again, you're going to see this word kept. The focus is that God is showing us that Jesus is able to keep us. There is a focus that happens on the triumphal entry that I don't think we pay attention to. Verse number 2 says, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Here it is. Untie it and bring it to me. And if any of you say, If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and I will send it back immediately. And they went and found the colt tied at the door outside of the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? I don't know if you picked this up, but five times between verse 2 and verse 5, we get this idea that the donkey was bound, that the donkey was tied, that the donkey was enslaved, that the donkey was not free. And this is probably the clearest comparison and contrast to the room, because the same way the donkey is tied and not able to be free, I believe that there are many of you in the room that either have a past where you were bound up before, or you have a present where you walked in here with shackles on right now. Now, I need y'all to get the deep stuff out your spirit. I need y'all to get the church face off. We don't want nobody to know what we're going through. There's people that came in the room, and there are some things that are holding you back from pursuing the Lord. Some things that have gripped your heart, and as it gripped your heart, it pulled you to wander away from the Lord. There are some things that are enslaving us. This is why Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 says, the iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast by the cords of sin. It has been my experience that many of us don't view our sin situation as being enslaved. We view it as just that thing that I do, but I can break free at some point. Do you realize you actually can't break free whenever you want to, because you are enslaved, you are bound? And here's what we need. The same way Jesus sent the disciples to untie the donkey, we need Jesus today to send his word to untie us. Because there's some of us that are bound. Look at your neighbor and just ask them, are you bound? Look at somebody else and just say, are you enslaved to sin? Somebody answered? What we need is for the word of God to unbind us and get us out of slavery. Do you know that the scripture says, he who the Son set free is free indeed? Do you know that Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, that Christ has set you free to be free? It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. I'm not just free, I'm free free. Like, I'm really free. I really got liberty. I really got joy. You just look up to heaven and say, untie me, Lord. Now, I needed you to say that by faith, because I don't think you realize just now what you just did was you made a proclamation over your life that you will no longer be held hostage to that thing that you love. You just made a proclamation. And you made it by faith. Now, some of you are, oh, no, like, I ain't really bound by nothing. I used to be bound, but I believe that there are so many of us, there is a list of things that we know we're bound by. If we went around the room and I just passed the mic, I bet you everybody in here can find at least one area that we know that we're bound by, but I bet you there's at least three or four more that we don't know we're bound by, and we operate and we walk because it's unexposed to us. And so when I say look up to heaven and say, Lord, untie me, I'm not just talking about the stuff that you thought of, I'm talking about the stuff that you don't know you're bound in. All of us have those areas. And here's the thing, Pastor Caleb, those areas that we're bound in that disguise themselves, if I'm honest, let's be honest, sometimes we present them actually as a positive, but we don't know it's a positive, but you're not free. I got to give you an example. There are some people that will pride themselves on being beer connoisseurs, pride themselves on being wine experts. You know, they bring the wine to the table and you do a little like this and taste it. And, you know, they got the whole thing. You know, we pride ourselves on being cocktail enthusiasts. Like, we know how to bring this, and this note works with this note. And we took the martini class, and we went on social media and we saved all the bars in New York and the lounges in New York that make the best cocktails. And we be like, I do that because I'm a connoisseur. No, you might be a functioning alcoholic and you don't know that's what you are. I got to talk to people that's free. See, some of y'all got real tight when I said Jack A. Y'all, did we talk like that in church? We talk like that in church, because you want to hear it outside too. There are some people that would genuinely struggle if I said, you know what the Lord told me? That you shouldn't drink all month. You would genuinely struggle. I know Gabe was, no, I'm joking. That's a joke. That's a joke. Gabe, that's a joke. Every time I talk about drinking, I talk about Gabe. I'm joking, Gabe. He doesn't have a problem. He doesn't have a problem. Here's the thing, though. You know, we mask it and we be like, you know what, Pastor B, I'm good. You know why? Because I got a high tolerance. Do you realize you can have a high tolerance and a problem? There are some, and you know what? The pandemic exposed us. Y'all know, we sent one email at 10:30 a.m. in the morning. We was like, where the mini bar? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because we don't realize that there are subtle things in our life that the enemy has bamboozled us to think it's a positive, when in reality, we're the donkey that needs Jesus to come and untie us. There are some things in our lives that we got problems with. Now, here's the thing. I'm not trying to take away your little afternoon brunch sippy sippy. I'm not trying to take that away from you. I'm trying to ask you to check your heart. Because if you got to drink Monday through Sunday in order to function, if you got to have a beer to go to bed, you might be bound up like the donkey. Some of y'all like, Pastor, we don't even like liquor. Okay. You know what? Some of y'all doing a whole lot with them vape pens and edibles. Whole lot.
It's legal.
I came in not too long ago. It was a few weeks ago. I came to the building and nobody was here. It was a Monday. And, you know, I usually come through the sanctuary because I like to pray for a second before I go upstairs and thank God for whatever he did in the room on Sunday. And so I was walking through the sanctuary and I got upstairs. There's a spot we have upstairs for our volunteers. So, you know, I went up there and I was about to go in my office and I looked over to my left like tweet. And I saw, y'all caught that? That was 90s, baby. I looked over, that's too much. I looked over and I saw some gummy bears. And I was like, are these what I think they are? So I'm looking at the gummy bears and I turn them over and I read the ingredients and thank God they was gummy bears. It was gummy bears, y'all. We're growing. We're spiritually growing. I was worried. I looked at the ingredients. First ingredient says sugar. And I know it was the worship team. I know it was. They have such a bad diet. If you look at them in the mornings, they be eating, drinking Celsius drinks. So when they up here doing worship, they under the influence of amphetamine Celsius drinks. I'm not joking. I'm dead serious. I told Amari, when I'm going to come in, I'm going to just pour all them up Celsius. They are not good for you. I don't care what nobody says. All right, let me get back on track. There are some of us that's bound by alcohol, but you don't know it. There's some of us that's bound by vape pens and edibles. And you might be in here going, Pastor, but you're doing the extreme. You swung the pendulum all the way. Okay, so let me come in the middle. 99.9% of the room is addicted and bound by them phones. I guarantee it. I know it. And you know how I know? Because you can't forget all month. You can't go a day. You can't go a morning. The first thing you do in the morning is pick up your phone. And at night, the first thing you do is looking at your phone. In the middle of the night when you can't sleep, the only light in the house that's on is the light from your phone. And y'all know it's true, and you drop it and hit yourself in the face. That's God punching you in your face saying, go to sleep. Because we are bound by our devices. I bet you if you check your screen time, what if Holy Week, just this week, you said, you know what? Nothing can buy me. I'm going to put this phone away and I'm going to give Jesus the time that I would. Do you know how much more you would spiritually grow? Because your device is like a crack pipe. Many of us are like Pookie from New Jack City. We're on the phone like, ooh, I got heaven. We're scrolling. But my deepest prayer is that we will grow. And I believe that one of the ways you can grow, if you begin to expose the things that are binding you, Lord, unbind me like you did the donkey. I could spend the whole sermon talking about ways we. Some of y'all ain't bound by liquor. It ain't edibles. It ain't vapes. Y'all not bound by them phones. But you know what you bound by? Gossip. Some of y'all are bound by lust. Some of y'all are bound by bitterness. Some of y'all are bound by envy. There's so many ways. And here's what I want to offer you. I want to offer you something better than what you're bound by. Here's what I want to offer you. Jesus, because he who the Son set free is free indeed. I want to offer you Jesus. So many ways that we're tied up. I'm going to move on. First, way that we're like the donkey. It's five times it talked about the donkey being bound and being unbound. First way we're like the donkey is that many of us are bound, if not all of us, but Jesus comes and unbinds us. Two, second way we're like the donkey is Jesus alone changes our behavior. Look at this, man. This messed me up when I realized what was going on in the text. In verse number 2, it says, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, and they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. Watch what he did. And he sat on it. Do you understand what is happening when the text says that nobody ever sat on the donkey? Most commentators suggest that the animal that has never been sat on is an animal that is untamed. It is an animal that is a wild beast. And Jesus comes and sits on it. Watch this. And he tames the beast. He tames the animal, because the thing that changed the behavior of the donkey was proximity to Jesus. Okay, you think I'm talking about the donkey? I'm done with him. I'm now talking about us. What changes our behavior is our proximity to Jesus. And what Jesus is doing today is he's coming to you and saying, I want to tame the beast. I want to get on. And some of y'all are going, I ain't really a beast. I ain't really like that. But yes, we all have a beast inside of us. It's called the nature of the flesh. This is why Paul says, you know, the good that I would do, I find myself not doing. But the thing that I don't want to do is the thing that I find myself doing. Jesus, and you know what's crazy? This ain't the only time he tames the beast. When I look throughout scripture, there are plenty of times where the creation has changed behavior because of God's influence. Let me give you an example. What about the lions and the lion's den? They are carnivores. Their job is to tear people apart. But here's what Daniel chapter 6, verse 22 says. My God sent the angel to shut the mouth of the lion. That's taming the beast. What about Balaam's donkey? Change behavior. What about the two cows that they put the Ark of the Covenant on and sent them back to Israel? Tame the beast. What about the great fish that swallowed up Jonah? Tame the beast. What about the ravens that came and fed Elisha when he needed sustenance? Tame the beast. What about the animals on the ark? How in the world you got a lion laying next to an elephant and that for 40 days and the lion not get hungry? Because God tames the beast. He tames the beast. In other words, when you have proximity to Jesus, he and he alone changes your behavior. He and he alone changes your desires. He and he alone changes your lives. This is why I rejoice when we had the baptism pool here, because what I heard was story after story after story about how God tames the beast. Some of y'all in here, y'all going, y'all think y'all not that bad. Can I mess you up? You are worse than you think you are. You are worse than you think you are. Do you know Genesis chapter 6 tells me that every God looked around and said, every desire of man's heart was set on evil continuously. And I know you think you're not that bad because you grew a little bit, just a little bit. But the reality is all of us got a beast inside of us. And if the right appetite comes around, let me put myself on blast because maybe y'all just need a little bit more of a testimony. God took some things out of my life that I genuinely did not ever think he would take out of my life. I'm going to just give you one. I'm going to put myself on blast. At the age of nine years old, I found my brother's porns. He had some magazines sitting up under his bed. I found them at 9 years old. I was having sex at 13 years old. 13. I was addicted. I can't. But if you couldn't pay me $1 billion to watch porn. And here's why. And I'm talking in secret. You couldn't pay me because it robs me of joy. It robs me of looking like Jesus. What can take a teenage boy that was addicted to not even to hating it? I'll tell you what, Jesus tamed the beast. Tamed it. He tamed it. Is that anybody else's testimony? I put myself on blast. I was addicted. Maybe it wasn't porn, but it was some stuff I was in that God had to bring me out. And it was Jesus and Jesus alone that tamed the beast. God, I really want to help the room. I want to help us to be honest, because some of us, we're not honest with what Jesus has brought us out of. He's brought us out of some major things. And let me tell you something. I had some real come to Jesus moments, and they still didn't help me when it came to porn. Let me give you one of them. I'll never forget when my mother found the VHS porn in the VCR. Oh, yeah, it happened. And my mother called the whole family together and said, whose is this? And nobody would say whose it was. So you know what she did? She sat us down, she hit play, and she said, we're going to watch it until you tell me. And I sat there and watched it like my mother. You know why that situation didn't change my heart? Because that couldn't tame the beast. Fear doesn't tame the beast. Embarrassment doesn't tame the beast. Jesus sits on an animal that ain't never been set on and said, now you'll be tamed. And some of y'all are going, I've been in it too long. I've been doing it too long. There's no way I can stop. I can't see myself. I can't see myself in life without it. If he shuts the mouths of lions, you can do without it. If he tames the donkey that was wild, you can do it. You can, I'm telling you, you can stop it. You can say, and there's some people that there's a process and there's some that's cold turkey. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody in the room, you hate stuff that you actually used to love? Look at the room. Look at the room. Hold your hand up high. And I want those of you who are not holding your hand up to look around the room. The reason I want you to look around the room is because if he did it for us, he can do it for you as well. We serve a God that tames the beast. We serve a that there's some stuff that I used to do that I don't do no more. There's some places I used to go that I don't go no more. There's some stuff that I used to find funny that I don't find funny no more. There's some stuff that used to bind me up that I'm not bound up no more because Jesus tames the beast. The Bible says that this donkey was never been set on. Jesus sits on it, and it was almost like his entire life got trained for this moment. It wasn't. It was that Jesus has power to change us. Here's why, because God formed me. Sin deformed me, but God formed me. Religion tries to reform me. Education tries to inform me, but it is only Jesus that transforms me. And let me tell you something. I personally can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that I've been changed forever. This is just some stuff I would never go back to because I've been changed. I've been changed forever. I don't know who it is in this room that you're bound. I'll work on this at the end. But there's somebody in this room that you came to here, and there's some addictions and there's some things that you're holding on to, and you didn't tell nobody about them, and you don't see life without them. I promise you, today you're going to hate when you leave. You're going to hate what you loved coming in. Let me say that again. There are some things in your life that you loved walking in here. You're going to walk out of here hating it. And you don't know why. You don't understand it. It's because Jesus is transforming your life and taming the beast. There's something else about this animal that's never been set on that's identical to us. Let me tell you what else it is. In ancient times, when an animal wasn't tamed or set on or trained, it was probably because the owner of the animal was going to use that animal for a sacrifice. So in other words, I don't gotta train the donkey in any way because he gonna die at some point because I'm gonna sacrifice him. So most commentators were saying that this donkey right now was prepared for the slaughter. But here's how it ties to us. Jesus stepped in and said, that won't be sacrificed. I'm going to my triumphal entry because I'm going to be sacrificed in his place. See, on Friday, what makes Friday so good is that Jesus stood on the cross condemned in your place. It's not just enough that he died. The fact that he died in my place is why it's a good Friday. Despite a bad Monday, good Friday's coming. Despite a bad Tuesday, good Friday's coming. Because Jesus and Jesus alone is the sacrifice. This animal probably was being prepared to be sacrificed, but Jesus saved it from the sacrifice. Do y'all hear this gospel that's being dropped? Jesus saved it from the sacrifice. On the cross should be me. The body that was torn to shreds should be me. The blood that was shed, I deserve it. It should be me. But it's not ever gonna be me because Jesus stood in my place. This animal probably was on his way to a sacrifice. But Jesus came in and saved it from the sacrifice. The first way we're like this donkey is we too have been bound before. Untie the donkey. The second way that we're like this donkey is Jesus and Jesus alone changes our behavior. There's a third way. Third way, and I'll make this one quick. Jesus wants to use you just like he used the donkey. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, here it is. The Lord has need of it. Just like the donkey, Jesus had need of it. He didn't have to use it. He chose to use it. In other words, he doesn't have to use you. He chooses to use you. And many of us think that our salvation is summed up in us coming to church. We think our salvation is us summed up in us giving and us serving. And all of those things are well and good, but they're byproducts of your salvation. Your salvation isn't worked out because we came in here and we sang a bunch of songs. Your salvation is worked out when you go out there and you say, use me as you wish, Lord. Use me as you wish. Why? Because Jesus has need of you. We need to be like Isaiah. Here am I, Lord, send me, I'll go. Can somebody by faith say that? Say, here am I, Lord, send me, I'll go. What I love about what Jesus is doing here is Jesus, when he comes into our life, he takes complete control of our life. And he doesn't have to go through you to produce mission, but he chooses to. And some of y'all going, not me. There's no way he can use me. Use the person on the platform, right? Use Colin, right? You use Pastor B. You use Yolanda. Like, you use Pastor Caleb. You use those people that you see on the platform. But the reality is, we just, by God's grace, are able to come in here and yell a little bit to y'all. But the real ministry, you got a pulpit in front of you every day. Are y'all hearing me? Because God wants to use you. And the problem with us being used by God is we don't like to relinquish control. We don't, Pastor Timmy, we had lunch this week. And remember we were talking about how we like to be in control of our lives. We were talking about our kids. His kids is little. My kids is grown. We in two different phases of life with our children. But both of us have this stronghold of wanting to control the lives of our kids. And we're like, man, the best thing we can do is give them over to the Lord because he loves them more than we do. Relinquishing control. Because here's the reality. When you get saved, I'm telling you, your life is so changed and your life is so forever going to be used by Jesus in such a way that you shouldn't look like you did when you first got saved. If you're doing the same thing and you're still begrudging and pushing against Jesus, it is a sign of a lack of spiritual maturity or that you're not saved. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. Because nobody want to talk like that, right? Some of y'all not. And I ain't beating you up, because here's the beauty. You got a chance today for Jesus to tame the beast. Now, some of you in the room that's going, he can't use me because I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't have enough money. Maybe you're not. Maybe we're not pretty enough. Maybe we don't have enough money. Maybe we're not eloquent and smart enough. But that's exactly who God likes to use, because the Bible says that he uses the foolish thing. You're the fool that he decides to use to confound the world. I got to read that. 1 Corinthians 12:27-29. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human may boast in the presence of God. God wants to use you, but he uses you in spite of you so that he can get the credit and not you. Last time, I'm going to tell you to look at your neighbor, but just say, God is choosing you. Can y'all look back at them and say, not him that's on the stage. You. Y'all did that you right, too. I felt it. I'm going to end here. Number one way that we're like the donkey is we too have been bound before. Untie the donkey and bring it to me. The second way we're like the donkey is Jesus alone changes our behavior. The donkey has never been set on, and Jesus changes the behavior of what the donkey was supposed to do. The third way we're like the donkey is Jesus says, I have need of the donkey. So he uses the donkey to accomplish a mission. He wants to accomplish a mission through you. And here's the fourth and final way that we are like the donkey. Like the donkey, we are to usher Jesus into the city. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, and they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields, and those that went before him and those that followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. I gotta read Matthew's account. Because Matthew 21, here's what Matthew says about Jesus entering in the city. It says, verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Wow. So in other words, Jesus stirred the city up, and yes, he's the primary focus, but don't you get it twisted. The ride that he chose to use to stir the city was the donkey. In other words, this crazy uproar, the crowd that's going crazy, the mission is about to be accomplished. Zechariah's words 500 years ago are now about to be fulfilled, but it's fulfilled because of a donkey decided to let Jesus ride into the city. What if New York, I was going to say Brooklyn, what if all of New York, what if they were supposed to hear about Jesus, but they haven't heard because we're not bringing Jesus into the city? You ain't got to. Jesus could just appear, but he chooses to use you. What if the barista at the coffee shop that you go to, what if the barista's sole purpose in life wasn't to make you a latte with extra foam? What if your job in that barista's life was to share your faith? And here's how I think on mission. I want to go to the same coffee shop. I don't want to visit 3 or 4 because I want to get to know that young lady or that young man. I want to hear about their kids. I want to hear their story, because at some point, Jesus is going to give me an opportunity to tell them. What if the barista gets saved because you brought Jesus in the city? This is not hyperbole. Y'all hear me? This is not hyperbole. I really believe this is how it works. Your gym membership isn't for you to have abs, you know, strong abs and buns of steel. What if your gym membership wasn't for you to holler at the girls? What if your gym membership was for you to step in, see the same people, and talk to them at some point about Jesus? Why? Because Jesus rides into the city on our back. What if the girl at work that battles depression, and some reason you're a safe place for her to confide in? What if that young lady, what if her story and her trajectory could be changed if you brought Jesus in the city? What about your Uber driver? You thought your Uber driver's job was to bring you from point A to point B. You missed the opportunity. The job of a Christian is to be ambassadors of Christ and salt and light. So I ain't just riding the Uber and putting my headset on. I'm going to talk. Let me tell you how this really works. There was an Uber driver that Ty and I had years ago. We was going to a Jamaican spot. I forget where it was. They actually closed down during the pandemic. But we was on our way to the Jamaican spot, and there was an Uber driver there. And we started to talk to him and started to share the faith. We ended up praying with him. Do you realize that Uber driver comes every single week, sits right on that camera, is getting married in a few months? Why? Because we were able to share Jesus. Bring Jesus in the city. Look at your neighbors and say, bring Jesus in the city. Who knew? Jesus could have chose to come into Jerusalem by Air Force One. He could have said, you know what, y'all go find me a chariot with some spinners. He could have said, find me a white horse. Right? That looks real. That looks real climactic. Bring me a white horse. He doesn't do that. He chooses a donkey. In other words, he chooses you. He chooses me. Because the entire city, the commitment to the city is accomplished by you and God using you. And I'm telling you, if we would just get this, if we would just understand this, we would see Brooklyn transform. The reason that we have a mission statement, that we exist to join Jesus in his mission to see the city redeemed, that don't happen because people came to church. That happens when you get out. When you get out, I'm so less impressed about a line. I'm so less impressed about people being next door. You know what I'm impressed by? When y'all come back and be like, yo, my coworker got saved. Yo, the barista, she loves Jesus. That's what I want to see. Because when I see that, what I see is Jesus mounting the donkey and riding on into Jerusalem. The first way we're like the donkey is we've been bound before. Second way, Jesus changes our behavior and he alone does it. Third way is Jesus wants to use you. And finally, like the donkey, we are to usher Jesus into the city. I want to go just really quickly, and I'm over time, back to that second point. Because that second point, I believe that you're in this room. What is that second point? That Jesus alone changes our behavior. I talked about addictions. I talked about things that we're bound by. And I genuinely believe, I joked around, but I genuinely believe that there is somebody and somebody's in this room that you've been going through life and it's been functional dysfunction. You being bound became normal. And here's what I want to offer you. Whatever's binding you, I got something better. is Jesus. Jesus is much better than whatever is binding you, whatever has you held hostage. You can experience true liberty and true freedom and true joy if you understand that Jesus is actually sending his word to untie you. Who in this room is struggling with addiction? I know you're here. Who in this room is struggling right now? And you're like, you know what, Pastor B? If I come up there, people are going to think I'm on drugs. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But here's the thing. We ain't here to judge you because we all been bound by something. But today you can get it. Let's do it this way. Whoever's in this room that you know that you're stuck in something, you can't see your way out of it, but you genuinely believe that today's the day that the Lord wants to free you. I believe that he can do it. I believe that next year we'll hear a testimony from you of how Jesus broke the shackles, broke the bonds and chains. I really believe that you're going to hate the thing that you're loving right now because Jesus is able to do that. Who in this room, every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm done. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this room and you're like, you know what? I want that thing that you're offering that you said is better than what I'm in. Whatever it is. Whatever's distracting me, whatever's pulling me from the things of God, I want Jesus. If that's you, would you do me a favor and just come down to this altar so we can pray? I want to be free. I'm tired of being bound. I'm tired of being held hostage. Thank you for coming. I see you coming. I want to be free. Thank you for coming. Y'all are bold. Thank y'all for coming. I want to be free. Just come wherever you can get by the stage. There's some secret things. There's some things that nobody know about. And I love them too much. And those things have pulled me from Jesus. But today, Pastor B, today's the day that I genuinely believe that he's untying the donkey. Look at this altar of people saying, I want to be free. They still coming. I want to be free today. Come on now. We got time. We got time. We got time. Yes, yes. Father, I thank you, oh God, for each and every individual. These people on this altar is representing something that is near and dear to them and has been for a long time. And many of them can't see their way out of it. And many of them can't see past it. And so, Lord, thank you for coming. And so, Lord, what we've done is we've cluttered the cross. We've cluttered the cross with the things that we love more than you. And so, Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would remove the taste, remove the desire, remove the people that are pulling us back into this thing. Because, Lord, we want to be faithful to you. And here's why, because Jesus, you have been faithful to us. And so, Lord, we believe, thank you for coming. We believe that today is the day where you're unbinding us and you're taking us out of slavery and you're bringing us into this new walk and this new freedom. And Lord, there are some people that it is deep. It is a major stronghold. But Lord, there is nothing that we're in right now that got more power than you. You got power. Not just power, you got all power. So break these chains. Break these addictions. Break these strongholds. Break it. No matter how subtle or big it is, break it because we want to be yours. Lord, I pray, oh God, that as you begin to unbind us, I pray, oh God, that you will replace those things with the purpose that you have for us and the design that you have for us. And I pray that the same thing that we are held in right now, I pray, oh God, that those things, we'd be able to share a testimony with somebody else later that might be bound in the same thing. And we'll be able to say, this is what Jesus was able to do for me. Lord, I pray, oh God, for the one that didn't come to the altar. Maybe it's somebody serving. Maybe it's somebody that's next door. Maybe it's somebody online. And you want to be free. I thank you, oh God, that the altar is not just here, but it's in our hearts. So God, do the work in us. Take the heart of stone out of us and replace it with a heart of flesh. flesh, one that's soft and able to be penetrated by you. Make us new. Make us a new creation. Make us different, oh God. Do the work in us. And when we go back to our peoples and our crew and our friends, Lord, I pray, oh God, that they will be able to see the difference, that you tamed the beast. Thank you, oh God, for each and every story on this altar. Thank you for each and every young lady that has a testimony. Each brother, oh God, that's walking away from something. Lord, I pray, oh God, that we be testimonies for you. The gospel is the aroma of life. We thank you, oh God, for giving us freedom and liberty. It's in the name of your Son, our King Jesus, we pray. Amen.